the great Tom Giles, NBC Sports Boston.
What's up?
Celtics pre and post joining us here before he goes into work. How you doing, Giles? How you feeling? It's a big day, right?
Yeah. And it almost feels like playoff weather out there, right? Doesn't it? Like, this feels like like Eastern Conference Finals type of weather we got going on. There's a nice little buzz going on outside the Garden right now, too. So it's exciting.
What do you think about my idea that this team, it's not title or bust, it's wins record or bust? Because I think the expectations are ridiculously high.
The wins record 73.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that they're more concerned with winning. 82 and over bust.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was kind of disappointed when they dropped that last preseason game because, you know, they had the opportunity to win like 99 games there.
Yeah.
And they were kicking everyone's ass in the preseason, too. They were like running through these teams in the preseason like they were in the it was a complete continuation of what we saw last year, which I thought was interesting.
This is the 07 the 07 Patriots. I'm telling you, this feeling is. Super team.
To support your notion and your idea, Joe Mazzulla is like the perfect coach for them to go out there and try to win every single game, win every single quarter. Like, that's just the way he's wired. And then as you're watching those preseason games, it's like it doesn't really matter who's coming in off the bench. They're performing well. So kind of what intrigues me about this team, and obviously they've got the best starting five in the NBA, but is the fact that once you go to your second unit, like, those guys, Peyton Pritchard, the amount of growth he's had, like, they are going to continue to win games. So, you know what, Andy? I don't really hate it. I don't hate it.
So I just picked Peyton Pritchard to be
sixth man of the year.
Yeah? Yeah, I don't hate that either. Maybe
about Jaylen Brown for MVP?
That's another interesting one. I just think that here's why I think
parlay those.
Here's why I think it's so hard for either Tatum or Brown to win MVPs because their roster is so loaded because their starting five is so loaded.
I agree with you. I think that's going to hurt them.
And the way they play is they share the basketball.
Right.
They play team defense. They share the basketball. And then, you know, everyone else that votes on it looks at it and says, well, of course, you know, Jason Tatum, look what he's surrounded by.
Right.
You know, look what Jaylen Brown's surrounded by. So, unfortunately, in this situation, when it comes to, you know, personal awards like that, I think it kind of hurts them, but it certainly helps them when they're trying to win a championship.
There's something to be said about a team extending their players, keeping everyone around, and then there's what the Celtics did, which is, I think, it's that on steroids. They brought back everybody. They gave Luke Kornet a one-year deal. I mean, everybody got re-signed. Whit Grosbeck just draining that bank account before he leaves. What do you sort of think about a team that, rather than that trying to upgrade in certain areas, just decides, hey, we're going to bring back everybody who won the first time and do it the exact same way? That can be a dangerous proposition sometimes, right?
It can be, but I would argue that you also have some very motivated individuals based on the offseason in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for, you know, whatever happened surrounding the Olympics, Tatum being there and being benched, Jaylen Brown not being invited at all. I think those two things work in your favor. I also think that this is, for the most part, a young team. Like, you've got ascending players. I mean, Al Horford, you hope that he can be what he was last year, but everyone else, don't you think they're going to get better? So, look at the bench players. You think that they're going to continue to get better? That's why it doesn't bother me at all that you're kind of bringing back most of last year's team.
A cynical guy like myself, a true New Englander like myself.
Yeah, that's you.
We were talking earlier that this is a weird feeling. I can't remember a team, a season that was so universally positive, adored. And I almost have that, you know, the Titanic was an unsinkable ship until it sank, right? And tragedy ensued. Are we whistling past any graveyards, or is this team legitimately as good and as unstoppable as it feels?
I think it's more the latter. I think that they are the best team in the NBA. I think they've got the perfect coach for this team.
You
is
keep
in the
saying
guy.
That, huh? You're really high on
Mazzulla. I do. Yeah, I mean, Joe Mazzulla.
You want the
like,
bullet right between the eyes, right?
Yeah, hey,
I don't.
Whatever it takes. None of us are going to be invited to his funeral, Andy, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know anybody invites people to their funerals. Well, I thought you just kind of showed up because there was a thing in the paper.
Yeah, that's part of it. The Curb Your Enthusiasm, didn't they have one that was like a pre-funeral?
Yeah, they made plans. Yeah, Richard, he was so, like, you're not coming to my funeral.
Yeah, it's so, you know, it can be done. But in any event, like, I just... This team seems locked and loaded. They seem focused. It feels like he's going to have them playing motivated basketball from the jump. And, you know, maybe there's a lull somewhere in the regular season, but who else in the NBA do you look at and say, all right, they got that much better, and they're going to have to watch. Like, They're playing the Knicks tonight.
That's who I was just going to say. The Knicks, I think, had the most impactful offseason of anybody, you know, in terms of adding and trying to match with the Celtics. I think that they did the most. The Sixers, you could say, too, but their two main guys aren't playing tonight, so that's a little bit unfortunate for them. But, yeah, I'd say these Knicks, they went all out this offseason. Trades, extensions, free agents signed even. Like, they have a lot going on. I think that's a team that certainly built their roster in the spirit of trying to compete with the Celtics.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too, to your comment, Andy, about us just feeling so positive about this team. When was the last time we only had like one? And the Bruins are good right now, but you see what the Red Sox didn't even make the postseason, so you didn't get any of that carrying you into October. The Patriots right now are pretty much at their lowest that they've been in how many years?
30
decades.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rust.
So you have that going on, like on one side, and then you got the Celtics who kind of feel like the complete opposite. So I think that's probably factoring into it a little bit too, isn't it? I just feel like, you know, Boston sports fans in general right now need a night like tonight. Need the Celtics back in action. Need a team that's going to go out there, you know, raise the banner, get the rings, everything else, and then go out and you actually get to see this team out on the floor going up against who's supposed to be the greatest threat in the Eastern Conference in the New York Knicks.
You keep mentioning Mazzulla, and he might be the perfect coach for this team and the situation and these players. And you mentioned that it is a young team. That's a young team facing a new challenge, a different challenge of being, forget the heat way where he wants the bullet, back, head, whatever. Where is this team capable of being chased and challenged on a nightly basis? Is there the motivation? I don't really buy the Olympic thing all that much. We got into a good argument about that at one point in one of our past shows. But is this team where they are in their development? They're all paid, right? Pretty much everybody's making a boatload of money. They're all paid. Is there any just natural letdown, or are they truly trying to do something special? The back-to-backs, the dynasties, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think the other factor, too, is that everyone questions whether or not they were, not everyone, but there were plenty of people on the national level that questioned their path to winning a championship last year. There were plenty of people that looked at it and said, all right, you beat Miami, they didn't have Jimmy Butler. You beat Cleveland, they didn't have Donovan Mitchell. Tyrese Halliburton got hurt in the Indiana series. Then
didn't have to go through Milwaukee or the Knicks or anything. Yeah,
you didn't have to face Denver. You know, maybe even Oklahoma City would have been a better team in the finals, a better matchup for you. So I think there's a lot of people that kind of question, and they question them all the way up until the end. So I think there still is some of that as well, where they're, I believe the mindset of this team is more so they're on a quest to win a championship, not on a quest to win back-to-back championships, if you will. You know, they're not trying to defend their title. They're trying to go out and win this year's title.
Kristaps Porzingis is obviously still rehabbing. Al Horford, who you mentioned, is one of the not young guys on this team at 38 years old. Is this a team that can play around maybe if they have to? Because you're seeing it now with these older guys taking some load management time. If Horford can't go every night and you're leaning on Luke Kornet and Xavier Tillman and guys like that, do they have the talent in the other four to sort of play around that?
I think they do. I think there's going to be certain matchups, and some of those matchups you're going to get beat anyways, you know, if you're going up against Jokic, and Embiid's kind of been a problem for them anyways. Yeah. But Luke Kornet, to me, seemed like he fit in pretty well, albeit it's preseason basketball, and there's only so much you can take away from it, especially when you're playing the Sixers and they're not playing anybody. But those guys, Luke Kornet, Xavier Tillman, look good in this preseason. It's obviously going to be a different animal once you get into the regular season here, but I'm not really that kind of concerned with that. I think that you've got a really good starting core. You've always got, you know, basically two of your starters on the floor, if not three of them, three of your best scorers. So they're kind of set up for it.
I know you won't be allowed to talk about this when you get on your set.
Here we go.
What do you fear? What do you hate? What do you wonder about? What do, like, Where are the potholes and pitfalls?
Yeah, I mean, everyone obviously...
None, fine.
No, obviously everyone goes to injuries, and the fact that they played a lot of basketball, and they, you know, didn't have a long offseason, if an offseason at all, for some of these guys. So, you know, you do have to worry about kind of managing that maybe a little bit, but you obviously factor injuries into any team.
Like, right.
It's a conversation with any team. I guess maybe you could bring up complacency. We've seen them be complacent at times over the last couple of years. That's also pretty much every NBA team.
Right.
So that's kind of the couple of things that you look at right there is do they kind of suffer from that at any point? But I think those would be the main two. Otherwise, you know, if they continue to play like 1 through 5 out on the floor, team basketball, they'll survive nights when they don't shoot well.
Are you getting a ring?
No.
No?
No.
What,
sure? Why would I get
a ring? You're part of the pre- and post-game show. The Red Sox give rings to everybody.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I'm
not even like an employee ring?
No.
Have you seen them? Do you know what they look like?
Trinket?
I have not seen them. I don't know what they look like.
Because Wick's really pumping them up here. He says they're like the two-car garage.
You've basically heard something, though.
I mean, I've heard that, you know, it's possible that they might be the biggest championship rings that we've
Wait,
seen.
Wait, are they the multi-piece kind? Like, do you turn them and the top comes off and it's like the inside of the garden or any of that?
Because it's like that a bust of their face.
Yeah.
It sounds like a micro machine that yeah. something else
yeah.
comes
no,
out.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool, actually. I'm not really sure. No. And I'm definitely not getting a ring.
Okay.
I had nothing to do
you
with
carry
them.
You carried their water
What about like Scal and Carter? Are they getting rings?
I believe they are.
Well,
I
then you should get a ring if they're getting rings.
They're team broadcasters.
You're part of the
so
post game show.
No, it's different.
It's
different.
Not different.
I'm quite comfortable with
you. All right.
A bonus
hashtag get Giles a ring is what I'm ready for. We're gonna get you a ring, Giles. Don't worry about that. Speaking of Wick, the sale of the team, is that something that could maybe be a cloud over the proceedings here? As we don't know what the future holds in terms of if they're going to keep the team together and pay all these luxury taxes and everything else. Is that something that could maybe creep up as the season goes on?
I don't think it really matters that much to the players. You know, they're, as you just mentioned, you know, they're on the contracts that
they've
been given.
Paid,
so,
right.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much fine with that. I think it is probably human on some level for maybe some guys to wonder, you know, what's it going to be like next year or the year after? And maybe that's why there's the heightened, and not to use the word pressure, because obviously Joe Mazzulla doesn't want to use the word pressure here,
right.
But maybe that's why there's an intense focus on them winning the championship this year, because they do realize, like, you can't keep this group together forever. So I think that's got more to do with it than, you know, any change in ownership, which, you know, who knows when that happens.
I'm sure you listened to the Stephen A. podcast with Jaylen Brown,
mm-hmm.
and when he was asked about his relationship with Jason Tatum, he said it's a championship relationship, and he barely got the words out, and he started chuckling to himself.
That's how you know it's funny.
Is it funny, or he knows that no one's going to buy this crap that I'm selling right now? That's why I'm chuckling. What do you make of that relationship, which... what they going to say now kind of thing, championship relationship. But as you said, you just brought up that idea. You might not be able to keep this team together forever, which means one of them might need to go, which means at some point maybe people are having those same discussions. Who are you keeping? Who are you getting rid of? Who's more expensive? What can you get more for? Do you ever think we'll totally put that discussion to bed, the Brown-Tatum stuff?
I think that some of it should have been put to bed last year with the fact that they won a championship together and with the fact that, you know, there were a couple moments through the postseason where, you know, was it Tatum who smacked Brown first, like on the chest after a huge three, and then Jaylen got him back like the next game?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They think they had that. Like, their relationship on the floor is great. And, you know, the fact that they found a way to win, and that's, I think, what they needed to do to probably quiet some of the people that wanted to talk, you know, incessantly about their relationship. They went out there and they did it. They won a title, and I wouldn't expect them, you know, really anything to kind of change what they're going to do on the floor. Because, again, the other thing that, too, helps is that you've got Jrue Holiday. You've got Derek White. Like, because you have as many guys on the floor with you that can score at any point in time, they're going to continue to play team basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree with that. All right.
It just really made me think they're the anti-Patriots in so many ways.
They really are.
Like,
yeah.
They have stars. They have fun. They make plays. They have leaders that will squash anything that becomes an issue. They literally are like the anti-Patriots on every level.
And it's everything we need right now, isn't it?
It is kind of.
What if Joe Mazzulla was coaching the Patriots?
Andy's really thinking about
that. That'd be
really
something, right? I think they'd benefit right now.
Honestly think they'd benefit right now. And they're boys. Mayo has talked about Mazzulla, right?
Like, yeah,
they have a relationship going back. Maybe he needs to bring him in for a couple bullet between the eyes talks with some of his players.
There you go.
One more question for you.
What's that?
Actually, two-part question.
Uh-oh.
If you could buy only one jersey, not for yourself, but for one of your, like, nephews, nieces, somebody, you buying Tatum or Brown?
I'd probably, can I buy one of each?
No, you can, like, buy one. I just said one. Pick one.
All right, I'll go hard. Tatum.
Sneakers, same question. The Tatum 3s or the 741s?
Oh, yeah. I don't forget what the brown shoes are, but this one should not be a contest.
Which shoe you like better?
I'd say if I'm going to wear it myself, I'd probably like the Tatums. I would lean
the Tatums are way better.
Typical yeah. Nike
the
guy.
The Tatums are way better.
Those falls in line with society's norms.
So those 741s look like the bootlegs from China or something. Like
I'm a hater.
They look like when you try and buy Jordans or whatever, and they send you something, and it's
okay.
It's
that's
instead of the Jumpman, it's a guy like doing this or something.
That's the first version. We'll see what the next one looks like.
We'll see. But I do
remember
like
remember
those
the first iPhone. Come on,
that's true. I do like those Tatums. Those new Tatums are really nice. All right, that's Tom Giles, who deserves a ring, by the way. Wick, if you're listening, thanks so much for stopping by.
No, and, being on with you guys was enough.
That is. That's a bonus in a lot of ways.